I used to be so broken, lost, empty. A heart with no beat, a singer with no song to sing. So I know the feeling, the silence is deafening. But in your pain lies a blessing, a sweet and sour victory. So keep walking and walking, walking, though it seems so far. No matter who you are, see there's one thing that I know. Life, it can leave you so bitter, 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 bitter. But you must believe that it gets better, 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 better. It's alright, try your eyes and a prayer to the sky. I know it's hard to find, but you must believe that it gets better. Listen to me, I know you're scared, your heart's bleeding. But what are you gonna do now? I think it's time you break free. And keep walking, 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 though it seems so far. No, it doesn't really matter who you are. See, that's one thing.
Rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you once again for coming to our executive meeting, by meeting us, meeting God at our executive meeting, where we, ADM, make it our first priority to get up, to be in the presence of the Lord. And we thank you all over this world for those that continuously come on and join us as well. Being in the presence of the Lord is something so great. It's unexplainable. It is unexplainable. And we thank you all. We thank you, South Africa. We thank you, Nigeria. We thank you, Fiji. We thank you, Canada. We thank you all over the world, every place. ADM, we thank you as well. We thank you, everybody in the United States of America, that's continuously to follow what the platform that God has for you and I. It is Terrific Tuesday. We want to command, we want you, as we do ourselves, to command our atmosphere. Get up this morning. You may have already started your day. You may be in noontime. I don't know exactly what time you're at, but you still have the ability to command your day, command your atmosphere, command whatever that is going on, so that you can have a very prosperous day. We don't have to stay in our same situation. We are given the authority to speak to things. We have been given the authority to decree and declare things, and you have to believe that they are true. So we say on this Terrific Tuesday, do not let anything keep you down. Get up. If you feel in some type of way, get up and know that God granted you new mercy. When he woke you up this morning, he was starting you on your new day. He was starting you on a new way. So do not slumber and do not sleep. Good morning, Minister Shakita. Will you please bring us in prayer?
Good morning, Evangelist. And once again, good morning, saints, for tuning in with us at our executive meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we thank you, Lord, for once again coming in and allowing us to sit in your presence and tuning in and communing with us, Lord. And thank you, God, for this, oh, God. We thank you, God, for the blessing, oh, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for this day, oh, God. We thank you, God, like never before, oh, God. We should walk, God, and be strong pillars in you, oh, God. We should show our faith, God, like never before, oh, God. We should press, God, like never before, God, and put forth the efforts, God, to do the things that are right, oh, God. May we remove the things that are not of you, oh, God, and replace the things that you should have of us today, oh, God. We thank you, God, for this trueness, oh, God. We thank you, God, for this realness of you, oh, God. We thank you, God, for the changing of the heart, oh, God. We thank you for the changing of the mind, oh, God. We thank you for the changing of the spirit, oh, God. The stillness of God, oh, God, this peace, oh, God, the joy, oh, God, that you're filling with us, oh, God. May we can be content, oh, God, with the things that you're having in our life, oh, God. May you be placing us in places, oh, God, that we've never seen before, showing us places and people we've never touched before, oh, God. We thank you for this, oh, God. We thank you for the things that you're doing, oh, God, like number four, oh, God. We thank you, oh, God, for this, oh, God. We thank you for the lightness, oh, God, of the heart, oh, God. We thank you for the peace, oh, God, that you're instilling in us, oh, God. We thank you for the joy that you're giving us in our soul, oh, God. We thank you, God, for breaking the chains that's coming off the minds, oh, God. We thank you, God, for the spirit being released, oh, God, from being dismayed, oh, God. We thank you, God, for the clarity of the mind, oh, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for this day, oh, God. May we be content, oh, God, with you, oh, God. May we be content, God, that you are doing the righteous things in our life, oh, God, and that we lean to you, oh, God. We lean to your speakings, oh, God. We lean to your teachings, oh, God. We heed the warnings, God, that's coming forth from the men and women of God, oh, God. That is true correction, oh, God. That is true love, God, because out of you, God, you demand order, oh, God. We thank you, God, for all the things that you're doing in our life right now, oh, God. May we know that, God, is you adding joy to our life, oh, God. It is not us, oh, God. It is you, truly you, God. May we stand firm, God, and put forth the footwork that you have us to do, oh, God. We shall do it joyfully, oh, God. May we know that, God, that's you, God. Good God, it's you, God, doing a new thing, God. You are doing a new light, oh, God. You are changing mindsets, God. You are changing hearts, God. We know this, oh, God. We thank you, God, for the people that are tuning in, oh, God, gaining your word, oh, God. Letting them know that faith is real, God, no, and letting them know that you are real, oh, God. We thank you, God, for this, oh, God. We thank you, God, for the communion, God. We thank you, God, for the men and women of God that are pouring into us, us, oh God, that is feeling the truth and beliefs in us, oh God, that we shall be prosperous in this world, oh God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We lift your name up high, God, for you being you, God, and nothing more, God. We thank you, God, for this day forth, oh God. We shall praise your name like forevermore, from here to the mountaintops, from the mountaintops to the heavens, oh God. We praise your name, oh God. I love you like never before, oh God. Amen, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ, Lord. It's you, oh God. We love forevermore. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Yes, we do, Father. We love you unconditionally, and nothing and nobody can do anything about it. And as we come to you all today, you know, we just continuously just we continue to be obedient with the Spirit of the Lord. And what came into my spirit on Sunday was the word contentment. It was the word contentment, being content, being contentment. And I looked it up. I went to Wikipedia, and I looked up the definition from Wikipedia. I'm sorry if I'm, yeah. It says that contentment is an emotional state of satisfaction that can be seen as a mental state, may be drawn from being at ease in one situation, body, and mind. Let me see. I didn't just stay there, because when you look at it as well from a, okay, and from the dictionary, I Googled it, and as a adjective, it is in a state of peaceful happiness. As a verb, it says satisfied, with parentheses, someone. But under that, it says nothing would content her. And a noun, it's a state of satisfaction. So in the adjective form, it says that it's in a state of peaceful happiness. And under it, it says he seemed more content, less bitter. In the verb, nothing will content her. And as a noun, it states that the greater part of the century was a time of content, a state of satisfaction. So with that being said, I then went to what the Bible said it was, and it took me to, let me get the scripture, 1 Timothy 6:6. Which says, yet true godliness with contentment in itself is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. So basically, that speaks for itself, that the fact God, what I got out of 1 Timothy 6:6 is God is my provider. That's what I got out of it. If I'm receiving the provision that's needed to be provided for me, and over in Matthew, God tells us, the scripture tells us that he will provide all of our needs, then we should be in a place of contentment. But we know in a humanistic nature, that is not that easy. We know that it's not that easy. It's just like everything else that has been brought forth since this year, thus far. Everything that we have been talking about, love, trust, peace, all of those, confidence, all of those things, it's a process. It's not something that's going to take place overnight. It's not something that's going to take place over a year's time. I can only speak for me. It's something that you have to go through some things. You have to build your, as you're going through these things, you have to build your relationship with Christ as you're going through these things. That relationship, the foundation has to be set. As we spoke about love, as we spoke about trust, as we spoke about confidence, you go back into the courting, wedding season in order for you to get to a place where you're content. It's not something. People can sit and tell you that I'm content. This does not bother me. I'm at peace. This, that, no. Even in Psalms 23, when the writer says that when they lay down in the green pastures, they land down in the green pastures because they had to go through something to get to those green pastures. They had to, they were running from things. Sin took place. All types of different things took place. And then it's up to you and I to be into a place where we're able to recognize, we're going to go back to self, recognize the things that we have going on in our own life that will cause us discontentment, such as being liars, being cheaters, being thieves, being disrespectful. Whatever it is that's holding you in a place of discontentment, that's preventing you to get to the place of contentment, you have to identify it first. And that's why when people sit and say, oh, I'm okay with this, I'm okay with that, sometimes when people sit and tell me that, and I have to start with my family, I have to look at them some type of way because I know me, myself, the different storms, the different things, the different trials that may be coming my way. I cannot speak those words to sit and say, I'm in a place of contentment. I'm in a place of satisfaction. I have to sit and go and pay attention to the things that's going on, process the things that's going on, and sit and ask myself, what do I need to, not what do the next person, what do I need to do to take this discord, to take this discontentment, this unsettling feeling that I have going on out of my space? I have to take it. It goes back to self-identity again. It goes back to the man and the mirror again. And as we continue to go on, and I'm going to go into Philippians 4, where Paul, he's thanking the Philippians in reference to gifts that they had previously given him. But for 10, and I'm going reading from 10 to 12. He said, Paul says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. He said again, because they had already blessed him before in 1 Corinthians 9, I believe. He says, you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Verse 12, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And then 13 says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So that's the secret right there. That is the secret right there. The secret that he's speaking of is that he can do everything through Christ. Christ is the antidote. Christ is the secret that puts Paul in a place of contentment. In this context here, he's talking about sending him financial help. He's talking about the way it was written is when these ministers, apostles go out in different places, they shall receive financial help for their ministry. But Paul is recognizing them. He's not angry. He's letting them know because at one point in time, they did what they were supposed to do. Somebody did what they were supposed to do. And at this point in time, because of circumstances or situations, they were not able to do so, but it did not affect Paul. Paul was not affected because his mental, his mind state, his body, everything about him, he was to a place where he realized that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. He realized that Christ is the person, he's the answer, he is everything. This is where we draw our power from. We allow that the Holy, we draw our power, and then we have the promises of God. We put those two together, and we continue to move on. See, we get into what, that's what we do not recognize. We do not recognize the authority, the ability, the gift, the promises that God has given us. We like to stay into a natural realm and just stay into a self-pity and worry about what the people, your neighbors are doing, or what the people down the street, instead of recognizing where God has you right now. Wherever he has you right now, it might be where you're supposed to be right now, because you're not in a place where you're doing the proper identification. You're not seeing what he is seeing. You're not where he wants you to be, because you're so worried about other people. You're concerned about the different things that you have no control over. It's not for you to control. We are to draw off of Christ's strength. We are to draw off of Christ for everything that is needed. And then it is okay for us to go into prayer or just have a simple conversation with God to remind him of the promises that he has for us. It's okay for us to do that. And see, Paul, if you see me, you think about everything that Paul went through, shipwreck, being placed in jail. When Paul's conversion took place, Paul wasn't in a place of freedom. Paul wasn't in a place where he had all type of discord in his life, because he had people around him that he was preaching the good news to that did not trust him. The apostles that started walking with him, they didn't trust him. He was a murderer. He had just had a part of, when he came unto them, Stephen had just got stoned to death with his permission to do so. So once Paul developed the relationship with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, as you and I should do, by studying, by praying, by doing the things that we say over and over, you too can get into a place where you are content with your trials, with your situation. I said in my spirit for the last couple of days, there are storms raging. And I keep asking God, show me, tell me, let me understand what you're saying, what's in my spirit. But you know what I'm doing? I'm continuing to pray about it and pulling on Christ's strength to help me wherever it may be. It may be in the natural. But at the bottom line, I'm not taking the chance to try to lean on my own understanding to fix whatever the situation is. And why would I? Why would I when the scripture tells me to trust the Lord? Why would I when the scripture tells me to cast all my burdens? Why would I when I know that I have green pastures that I can go and lay down into once I get myself together? Why would I? Minister Chiquita, what do you have to add to this?
Yes, Evangelist. See, content for me is being able to accept the things that you have and understand that you have to take care of them in such a way that allow God to manifest more blessings for you. And what I mean by that is, Apostle Temple had a teaching once before, and it's around Christmas time, and you can probably find it on his Facebook page or on the ADM Facebook page, and it was about a penny. And it was the value of the 1 penny, of the 1 cent. See, we lose value of the things that God give us and become elusive and come subside and not understand that value that what's that little 1 cent hold. And we sometimes in life disvalue different things in our life and don't hold the value to it and being content with it. like the amount of finances that you have, you're asking for more finances, but are you being content in what the Lord is providing with you, and you're being a good stewardess of that, what the Lord is providing with you thus this far, in order for you to be blessed into a higher field or higher income? You have to be content with what you are being provided with, even with right now in your home, in your life. We as all people, we're all striving to be better. But we have to be content with what God is doing right now in our life, knowing that it's Him working. And He's the one that's not pushing us too fast. He's the one that's not moving us too fast. He's the one that's not giving us too much. He's the one that's giving us just enough so we can sustain until we can move to the next level, until we can come into the understanding of our own self and being content with what we have in life and what God is placing in our life. And this is something that I can understand all too well, because that 1 cent, that one penny, when the apostle gave us that teaching about that one penny, I used to just walk over pennies and just throw them, and I didn't know the value of that penny like he was teaching it, that if you had that penny, it was like the faith of a mustard seed. You could sustain. You have wealth coming in. You were not broke. You were not penniless. You had enough to sustain. That was enough right there to sow a seed. That was enough right now to ask God, God, but can you manifest this, God, for this? I need this, God, to manifest to the seed that I needed to. That's being content with what you have, being saving your money. Being content with what you have, because you know you have things that's going to take place in the next future. You know you have bills that's coming up. Why would you be out splurging, flurging, just living any kind of way? That's not being content. You're living outside of content. You're living frivolously, and you're being very, very out of the will of God, because God wants you to be a very good stewardess of your money. He wants you to be in a blessed faith place, the way you won't have to worry about the things in your life, the way you won't have discontentment. That's when you know that you're out of the line of God, when things will start to happen and you start to feel the unease. Now, there are uneases in life where God nudges you for you to grow and get better. And that's when you know that you're out of his will. You need to come and you need to grow and get a little bit more closer to him. Lean a little bit more closer to him. Read a little bit more. Get a little bit more clearer in yourself and what you're doing to remove the things of yourself that you're not being happy with. It all goes back like minister, apostle, and evangelist say, it goes back to self. You have to be content within yourself to know that God is doing a thing in your life, that he's changing you for the better. He's doing things in you for you to get to your greater self. God only wants you to be greater. And that's the thing that I love about God. God needs nothing from us, but we need everything from him. And that's why we shall lean to him with all truth and understanding, knowing that he provides the true contentment of safety, the true contentment of love, the true contentment of purpose, the true potential of greatness comes from God, which is within us, which we have to be content within the growth and the phases that we go through to get to those periods. You cannot be worried in the process. It is a process, and it's not an overnight process. It's something that takes time, prayer, meditation, fasting, supplication, and a number of other different things that you have to take into your spirit to tune yourself and immune yourself with the Holy Spirit to get yourself aligned with the Lord so you can be content with what you're having, so you know when you're in your blessed place for God to allow the things to come into your life, so you won't be discontent. You won't be worried about what you don't have. You won't be trying to keep up with the Joneses. You won't be trying to gather more than what you need. That's something we do a lot, and they call it hoarding. We hoard a lot of different things that we don't need because out of contentment, out of worry that what we won't have or what we may not have or lack of or what we may not get. We try to hoard things. No, we can't do that. We have to stay in alignment and be content with what God has given us. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen. Amen, Minister Chiquita. And as we further go on with this, in order, as we stated, in order for you to get there, it is a process. And it, I know from what I am learning as I continuously every day learn something new, because I'm in a place where I'm asking God to teach me, whatever it is that he, in order for me to be successful, in order for me to be prosperous, I ask God. I have conversations or whatever. Show me in the scripture. Send me somebody. Do whatever. Send somebody of truth. Show me examples of different things. And one thing I know, one of the biggest things that will cause you not to be content is worryation. Worryation is a silent killer. And if you're not in a place, and this is why it is so important, even in the natural, let's talk about everyday situations. This is why it is so important for you not to hoard things, for you not to be in a place where you are constantly worrying about certain situations and worrying about how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that. Because it will beat you up. It will beat you up. It will overtake you. It will disrupt the different things that you have already worked so hard to go through. This is why it is so good to do a self-identification and start taking away the things that's causing you to disrupt the contentment. That's what takes place. And as we continue on, I tell you all this over and over and over. God has us on these different subjects at this point in time. It's to help us. It's to help us. It's to help develop us. It's to help take us to another level, because at the end of the day, Jeremiah 29:11 tells us God knows the plans that he has for us. And I'm going to leave you on that note. Welcome Apostle Temple on the line this morning to add to do whatever it is that he does to help the situation for you and I to understand, because God wants greatness for us, he wants clarity for us, and he wants us to be in a place to receive it. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Hey, good morning. God bless all of you all. Amen. Amen. We just thank God for who he is, and he is God Almighty. Amen. We just thank God for our listeners and partners all over the world. Amen. This is the area to where to really break down the difference of the correct way and the wrong way established, because they almost look identical. I really have to take my time and really pull back some layers. As we pull back layers, take a step back, and you really see, up under that layer real good. Because if not, you could be in the place to where you're not content. You could be in a place of you could be in so many different areas to where you thought you was in this certain place, but you really not. Contentment just deals with so much of things, but wrapped up in one word, amen. It's dealing with trust. It's dealing with being thankful, being grateful, amen. It's dealing with so many things that are wrapped up in one word, amen. And it's mainly pertaining to you. It's mainly pertaining to you and pertaining to your life. Can you get there? Is it easy to be said? No, it's not. It takes process. It takes growing. It takes what I was sharing with you all the other day, walking up that ladder, walking up them stairs, and you're going into a place, amen, to where you hit these checkpoints and you're going into this place where you're trusting and loyal and all these things with God, and it takes time and it takes building these things, and it just don't happen overnight. And, you know, so many times, you know, church, and so many times we as saints, when we begin to get into situations, especially when things begin to happen in our life, especially when a big situation or issue that you know is coming is begin to come, you know, a lot of times we get out of the we get out of being content, being content to where we are not content. And many people think, no, I'm trying to be content. I am being content. I'm hoping in the Lord. Really, one of the things is faith. And this is where I try to tell a lot of people, you know, it's the life that you live. It's the life that you live. You know, I learned a long time ago to where at the end of the day, I don't have no control over situations. If God have not approved, I have not granted, it is so. And I learned a lot of, I cannot base the credit of my prayers or the credit of a decision upon somebody else. Other words, what I'm saying is, you know, we could be in a situation to where it's the situation is not pertaining to you. It could be pertaining to somebody else. Amen. And we begin to pray. We begin to fast. We begin to come into this place. Begin to try to come into this place with God. Trying to get answers, and when we be trying to get answers, and it almost seems like, you know, the impossible is happening and different things like that. Believe it or not, you know, when we start pulling back that layer, we begin to do things because we are uncontent. And a lot of times people begin to fast about different things, but fast. So these are the things that we begin to apply, thinking that these situations going to put us into a place to where we are content. Content, you know, is basically trusting, being thankful, having faith, you know, within who? Within God. Why? Why? Why all these things you are having? It's because the life that you are living. It's the life that you are living. That's the thing. That's the bottom line, what we are trusting and having faith in. According to God and according to pleasing to God, we are living that life. Let me tell you something. You could gather all the information that you want to gather up in life. You could go and find so many mentors. You could find so many people to pour into you, to tell you this, and you could be very knowledgeable. But you don't live that life. Which one God going to accept better, your knowledge or the way you live? Come on, somebody. I got quiet in Nigeria. Where you at, Nigeria? Amen. Amen. Which one God is going to accept? How much knowledge you have or how do you live? Is it your walk he going to accept or how much you know about the walk? Tell me which one that God's going to accept. Amen. And it's going to be the life that you live, the walk that you have. That is what approval. That is proved different things. So I learned, you know, to very being content no matter what situation. And the reason why, content is really dealing with the area of self. And this is not the self-negative. It's the self-positive because I know my place with God. I know my place with God. Do you remember this story where these friends had this other sick friend, and Jesus was in this house, and he was praying, teaching, doing all that good stuff, and these friends trying to get to Jesus to get their friend healed, and next thing you know, they had to open up this the top of the roof and lower the friend down, and God looked, and Jesus looked, and, you know, he looked at the friends. He said, listen, by your faith, he ain't talking about the friends. It wasn't nothing about that. He ain't talked about the friend. He said, by who? By your faith, guess what? He is healed. So, in other words, by their contentment, by their faith, by their relationship, by their walk, by their belief, what happened? He was healed. They didn't, you know, it couldn't put their prayers upon him. or upon whatever, because there was in no situation to have to put it upon. Oh God, bless Sister So and So. You know, Sister So. Now you want to try to give a resume for Sister So and So, and where it doesn't matter how good you try to make it sound or how realistic you try to make it sound, Sister So and So got to go for itself. But you could go and use your credit for a situation, and that puts you in an area of being content with God no matter what you're going through. Some situation, I don't even must put my prayers on that individual or give credit to that individual. I give credit to myself. Amen? Because why? It's my walk. That's what Scripture declares. Give honor where honor is due. So you can come with your credit card from yourself, not somebody else. In other words, you said, God, you know, God, I've been faithful. God, I've been walking with you. God, I am an officer in the kingdom that you established, and you established me. So, God, I petition the request of this situation, that situation, that situation, that it shall be. I know that everything is done in your will. But, God, in this situation here, allow petition you to allow this situation to pass or whatever the situation is. And God, once you pass it, allow me have the opportunity to get to this individual or deal with this situation for this situation don't occur again. And if it does occur again, God, as long as I did my job, that the vow that I'm giving to you, let it be your will after that. Amen. So, you know, it's many a times I went to God with these different prayers and these different things, and I was very content. Why? It wasn't about the situation. It wasn't about the person that wasn't worthy or the person deserved or whoever deserved whatever they deserve or whatever going on. Amen. I was very content within who? Myself, my walk with God, my relationship with God, my things with God. Amen. And that's the place that where you have to be. And that way, any storms and anything that may come into your life or come into situation, you ain't worried. Why? Because you already know your stance with God. Your stance, it don't have anything to do with, even if you're married, it don't have nothing to do with your spouse. Amen? Your stance is whose stance? Your stance. It don't have nothing to do with nobody else. Your relationship don't have nothing to do with your spouse, don't have nothing to do with any other relationship. Your faith don't have nothing to do with your spouses or nothing to do with your friends, cousin, mom and them, and all of them. My God, faith, amen? So when you are content, you are basically, you basically come from experience. You basically come from trusting, believing. Your faith, you know, is built up in God. You know who you are, you know, and you know where you stand with the Lord, amen? If you don't know, you have some type of idea where you stand at with the Lord. And different things God will honor. Different things because of who? Because of who you are. Now, I want to look at this lair real quick. I want to show y'all a little lair, and this is a little church lair I want to pull up, and I want you to really identify. So situations come, things come, amen, and things begin to come in our life, and things begin to happen, and different trauma, and different turbulence, and different trials, and different judgment, all kinds of stuff begin to manifest or be to manifest in our life. One of the first things that the saints begin to do, they go and fast. They fast about a situation. That's the number one thing. Let me put one of the top three things that a saint will do. They will go and fast, and they'll go and pray about the situation and about what's going to get ready to happen or about what's need to turn or about what needs to curve. Amen? Let's look upon this. Let's look upon this layer. Let's pull back a little bit and peep up under this here, and let's look at it. Fasting, number one, it should be a lifestyle, not a situation style, not an issue style. Why? Because fasting does not grant or move God anyhow. And a lot of times people get content. They very content in the methods that they are doing to bring forth a decision. Fasting just center you. It's give you a center to have a clear head, a clear mind, or whatever. Even it begins to lighten you like a spiritual feather.
Amen. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, wherever God begins to blow, if you begin to move in the ruah, into the breath of God. So now, because you are no longer being flesh heavy down, but you are being centered spiritual down, it doesn't change God's decision. It doesn't make God to change your decision. It doesn't grant a decision. It doesn't does none of that stuff that people think it does. Amen. I wish I'd known that a long time ago. I could save a lot of issues and different things. Amen. It doesn't does that. Amen. It's center. When Jesus went in the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he wasn't going in the wilderness to find an answer or get God to do something. He didn't go and just say, well, you know what? I need to go in this wilderness and let me go ahead and end this because I got a situation coming up. I can see that the enemy finna come in and attack and go into a fast. I can see all this. No, he centered himself with the Father to get where, to do what? To get rid of the begin a ministry, to begin a work. So he centered himself for he could be navigated by who? The Holy Spirit. The Bible declares that Jesus was led into the wilderness by who? So he began to build a relationship with heaven and the kingdom, and it was a spirit, no more flesh. That was over. Amen? That was done. Now the weight came spiritually, and he began to do his journey spiritually. So it wasn't about, oh, I need to get this here. I need my Father. I need an answer. I can't go with this no more. I can't do that. No. In his midst of his fasting time, that was the time to where he was really going through the end. Amen? And he was able to deal with the enemy because he was what? Centered. He was centered. His center line of spiritual gravity was what? Centered. Amen? And that's what we have to understand. It's not something, oh, Lord, I just got to, oh, Lord, let me go and fast. Number one, you should have been already into a center place. If you got a relationship with God, if you're a person that have faith in God, if you're a person that trusts God and all that, you should be already centered. Amen? My God Almighty. Then and now here come the prayers going to start coming in on witness. Now let's look at this. Now we begin to go to God. Oh, shalabati nanamanamaniyakiyananamashana. God, touch the heart of this person. Change the heart of that. Change the heart of that. Change this. Change that. God, shamanamayanababa. I need that to turn around. So now you're in content with your emotions. Emotions driven by you want something to change. Amen? It's not even centered, or your prayers is not even in the avenue to where God is really can say, you know what, it's in a place of emotion. And I've seen this so many times in so many areas to where we get around, these folks get around these circles and God change. And I'm saying to myself, God is, first of all, the foundation is built on free will. Why God want to change somebody or change something, and if they decide to, that's how they want to be, and God say, I want to, so now you're going to, now you challenge God to change the law that he established. Establish what? For the king, for free will. It's your choice. It's your choice if you want to go here, if your choice if you want to go here. He's going to always illuminate rightness, but it's your choice which way you want to go. Now we want God to change somebody that didn't even make the choice that they want to be changed. Now we want God to turn somebody around that somebody never made the choice that they want to be turned around. Now we want God to make somebody a believer that they never made a choice that they really want to be a believer. So now we want to get God to control. Understand this. The spirit of the control is like the spirit of witchcraft. So now we want God to operate in witchcraft. I will pause for a second because I think my Nigerian brothers just say, hallelujah, Pastor. Amen. Now we want God to operate in witchcraft because now we want him to control. So now watch this. Not only God is operating, we're trying to command God to operate in witchcraft, but guess what? We are operating in witchcraft. Why? Because we're trying to get God, we're trying to make God or command God to do something that goes against the law that he established. So now we are content that I got the power. I'm the apostle. I have this authority. I'm the pastor. I have this authority. I'm this. I have this authority. That we're trying to command God to do something that you don't even must know that person don't even must want it. That's why, watch this. That's why contentness deals with who? Yourself. Because why? You should know where yourself is at. If you don't know where nobody else is at or what's going on with anybody else, regardless of what you want for something or a situation, amen, you can only deal with yourself. That's why the man of God say, I present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Come on, somebody. Holy and acceptable unto who? Unto him. Y'all hear me? He didn't say I present myself as a living sacrifice for my neighbor. No. The sacrifice of human mankind was already done, sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered when Jesus died on the cross. Now he said, I present myself as a living sacrifice. Amen? You can't present yourself. You present yourself for somebody else. You don't even know. So content don't even have nothing to do with them. It has something to do with who? It has something to do with you. Amen? Then we'll start getting into all these other layers. Like I said, it's a lot of layers. I pull you back. You'll begin to see and you'll begin to examine yourself what you've been doing. And next thing you know, we'll start using spiritual things or spiritual operation for self-need. And be honest with you, so many people be operating as witches and don't even must know it because they thinking that they have the recipe to control a situation. No, what God gave us control of, he said, I give you the power to cast out the devil. So God gave us the control to deal with any demonic, diabolical forces of evil that comes in our arena or comes in our area. But the thing about it is, what if what you are dealing with is not a demon, is not a diabolical situation, it's not a devil, amen? So now how can you deal with that situation? Y'all better hear. I have the control to tell the enemy, you better get out of here in the name of Jesus. I have the control to rebuke the enemy and command the enemy in the name of Jesus. I have the control to tell the enemy to release my goods in the name of the Jesus. I make demands in the atmosphere according to what God gave me. I can't make demands in the atmosphere to override the law that he established. I can't make them demands. I can't make them demands if he have not gave me access to that area. I cannot make them demands to bully my way to have access in certain areas. Y'all about to hear me this morning. Amen? So being content is basically, it's you. You don't have to. It's a lifestyle. It's not a situation style. It's not an issue style. And that don't make God to grant any situations that you're in. Many people think that, too. Girl, you want this house fast over. It's the devil. We practicing spiritual witchcraft. What? What is this nonsense? Now, here comes, oh, Lord, the devil don't got all up in it. The devil don't did this. He got up, but he right, because you're releasing a fragrance. The Bible says, have faith or whatever. Some things, we don't even need to put God in, because why? It's already established. You don't even got the money. You ain't even begin to try to save money to make some moves. But God grant me this. I know I don't have all the money, but favor will pay it all. I wish you would come to Flavor Barbecue and don't pay for your real sandwich and say Flavor pay it all. I tell you, in favor, can get up out of here.
Amen.
So why God going to steal for somebody else that they pay their bills because they walked out on faith? They was content in their season, trust God to do different things. And God say, this is the way that I'm going to bring you financial release. And here come the favor saints. Oh, God. God can lay hands on you. You about to take your own greasy hands and fry your own chicken with and start laying around. So we got to stop this nonsense and try to make something happen that you ain't even in the position. That's witchery. That's witchery. And it'd be an operation in the church all the time because we thinking that we're looking for shabba, come in with bones around their neck. They coming in with black makeup around their eyes and shaking with the dead chicken head skull and waving it everywhere. We worrying about that one. But you're not worrying about the one that comes like an angel of light. Come on, somebody. So we have to be content in our walk. And this is why you need to be a student with somebody, whoever, teaching the right information. If not, you'll be operating in some things don't even have a clue in. And what God looking at you said, why in the world are you going this way? All you have to do is make a petition according to your walk. And a lot of times people need God to move, and they can't even make a petition according to their life, according to their walk. So now we got to try to make something happen. That's a witchery operation. Because at the end of the day, God deals with you. Who the Son set free is free indeed. He said he coming to bless who? You. I come to take care of all your needs. Amen. I come to deal with who? You. So that's, you cannot control a situation pertaining to. But what you could do, stand in the middle of it. Pastor, what do you say? I'm going to say this last point. I'm going to get out of here. All that, what I was saying, I really broke down the definition of an intercessor. Somebody that is very content. A content individual do what an intercessor does. It's a form of an intercessor prayer. This is what an intercessor prayer does, and this is how the proper prayer for a content individual. They stand in the gap. They don't deal with that individual. They block that individual, and they deal with me. That's what Jesus did when he said he's standing there. He intercedes for, he made intercession. He stood in the gap and say, Father, don't even see them no more. You see me. I'm finna present myself as a living sacrifice. I'm content with my work. I'm content with my assignment. I'm content what you chose me to do, God. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. God, my God Almighty, he didn't put them on the display. He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Right then and there, he said, Father, get your eyes off of them. Look back at me. Back to you, evangelist.
Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, that's all I can sit and say, Jesus, because Jesus, and listen, saints, the only way this message can be delivered the way it is or was this morning, I pray to receive something from it, because I know me and Minister Chiquita did, and I pray that you did as well, but is through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, somebody that is in a place of contentment, somebody that's saying, Father, take your eyes, take everything away and deal with me, Father. Somebody that can sit and bring the word that the what was just brought is a person that is standing in the gap. And I sit and keep telling you all over and over that the train is moving. God is teaching you. I pray that you are writing these things down so you can apply them in your life. We're leaving today, but tomorrow we will be right back on at 7 a.m. waiting to hear what Holy Spirit is teaching us in this season. Trust me when I sit and say you're going to need it. Do not sit and just push it away. Do not take it as if it's not, you're not going to use it. He's bringing these things, these subjects up for a reason. So we leave you today with peace, love, and happiness. Write down your notes. Keep them. Use them. Share them with somebody. tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., we will be back on the line, ready for what God has for us. Not man. Don't get it. Don't go and tell people man telling you this. Let them know that the Holy Spirit is giving words. Rhema words, words for you to apply into your life. So as usual, we thank the apostle for being the vessel, for allowing God to use him during this time, which he's been using it ever since I've been knowing it. He's been using it. You have any ending words, apostle?
I want to share with people, this is why I really come into a place, and I really kept it to myself. Because it could really mess somebody up, and it could really throw them for a loop. This is why I stopped going into the New Year's with this tradition fasting. Because why? Many people go into it for the reason. The reason is we're going to start this year off right. We're going to start this year off. We're going to start this year off being a blessing year. We're going to start fasting. Is not for that. We already starting. We already trying to command something in the spirit realm and trying to control something that God says it's your. So basically what we're saying, we're going to do something even though we are not there to that place yet, but we're going to try to control it with fasting. Spiritual witchery. I need to do a teaching in a segment on spiritual witchery. And now we're trying to figure out, oh, my goodness, I can't. I got all this hell going on through that year. I got all this stuff going on. Lord have mercy, child. Oh, my goodness. Lord, he told me that it's going to be. It's told me it's going to be. No. Because at the end of the day, I could care less how much you fast trying to make something to happen. At the end of the day, it's the life that you live going to unveil and tell the truth about what you deserve. Y'all about to come on somebody here. Come on somebody. So we get all jumping and shouting emotional, oh, yeah, girl, we going on this thing. I'm finna turn things around. Baby, you can't turn it around with a fast. You got to change your whole approach. You fasting still got the stinking mentality. It's so many people fasting, they still stink before the Lord.
Mm.
You can't turn it around. So you content in something false, but it's not something that is established by the life God told you to live in God. So we cut that out. Because why? I'm not going to give ADM some a false hope. No, center yourself with God. It's the life that you live. It ain't no sense of me telling my God Almighty, people don't need must love God, don't have a relationship with God to do some spiritual practice that God is going to come by and see about you and things is going to happen. That is a lie in the church. That's not true. That's a lie. And a lot of people are living their spiritual operation off a lie. That's not true. You have to live this thing. You have to walk this thing. I don't live it because I'm here teaching you all. My family don't live it because we are here and say we pastors. No, we have to live it outside of the church, in the marketplace, in the workplace as well. Ain't something I can just say, well, you know what? You could be anointed in stinking. I'm going to say that again. You could be anointed and you could still be stinking. Anointing is just there to do a job. Anointing comes to destroy the yoke. Many people say, well, how can that person be anointed, Pastor, and his yoke don't be destroyed? The anointing is not going to control or come in and push itself past anything that is not ready to be destroyed. If it's not ready to be destroyed, the anointing moves off of and out like everything else, has the right off of everything else. It's what? Free will. if it's not ready, that anointing is not going to do anything. If they have not came to the place, it's not going to do anything. Amen? All you could do is just say, I feel it, yeah, but it ain't destroying nothing, because why? You didn't want it to be destroyed. So we cannot begin to put these things in a box. So a person could be carrying the anointing and still be what? Stinking. Judas had a financial anointing over his life. But he still was stinking with betrayal. Y'all better come on, somebody. Let me get off this line. Amen. So we got to understand that some practices that we are doing them in all in the wrong place, and we're trying to figure out, God, why happened. And this is where the saints begin to get this motions that, yeah, but the devil got up in it. Baby, if you do anything right according to the steps of God, there's no way a devil could get up in it. There's no way the enemy could tear anything up. It's impossible. So something was operating wrong for the enemy could come up in anything. And all that you was doing, all that hikamashaka that you was doing, oh, until you got dry and dehydrated, you was hikamashaka. And the enemy don't get caked up in it and pull all that up, and you're doing it for a long time? No, it's impossible. Jesus showed us that in the wilderness. It's impossible that the enemy could come in and take over you. It's not going to happen. It won't stop the tempter from coming, but it'll stop the tempter from being successful. It's impossible. Amen. So we got to re-examine. I hope some pastors is on now. And, oh, there you go. Thank you. Some of you said, are we on? All right. We got to re-examine our practice, because our practice to teaching a low-key spiritual witchery. And we're trying to make something happen that God never gave you the jurisdiction to do so. You're trying to command some things that God never gave jurisdiction to do so. I don't command nothing in the kingdom, but I command things in the second dimension. As princes of powers, rulers of darkness, I command that realm. I don't command the other realm, where the Lord, the Holy Ghost, I petition and I present myself as a living sacrifice. I present who I am. I present my resume. I present. Then I make a strong point or petition why this should, according to my life. I don't do none of that in the second dimension, in the second heavens. I command that realm. Because why? God gave me the authority, gave you the authority to do so. So I'm content into the things that God gave me access to. But I petition and I present myself as a living sacrifice, the things he did not give me access to. He never gave me access to access and control to turn somebody's life around. That's their choice. He gave me the tools to show them or to teach them if they want it. But it's their choice if they want to turn it around. Amen? Anyone, let me tell you something, I'm going to get off the line right now. Man, everybody's still on, amen? I'm going to get off right now. If you want a change to happen in the midst of a situation, you could be content within your own walk. How can you say that? God gave you a way out. He gave you a way. What is the way? I talked about it the other day. If your life truly changed, I'm not talking about you don't change in 5 days in 2 weeks. I'm talking about you've been living a life that is truly changed. Some of you need to get out of all this other doctrine and all this kind of nonsense, because it got you all jacked up. It got your thinking jacked up. It got your theology jacked up. It got your mind jacked up. You don't even know which way to go. You're confused about everything because you're dealing with some unholy stuff. So if you want to change, God gave us the recipe to present ourselves as a living first sacrifice. Pastor, what is the recipe? First of all, confession. First thing to the recipe is confession. Confession of what? Father, I was wrong. Father, I need to stop the lying. I need to stop carrying on the lies. And know good and well that I was wrong. Even though this time I did not have nothing to do with it, but I wanted to be in that, I wanted to be in that area. I wanted to go over there. So either way I go, God, I was wrong. I deserve anything that comes my way. There's nothing I can say about it. There's nothing I can cry about it. Only reason why, Lord, it hurts now, because I don't came into the light. And it's not worth a five-minute pleasure. Not worth a couple of seconds. It's not worth making decisions that it's not right. It's not worth it. The suffering and the pain that even others that is connected to me, Lord, that goes through it, it's not worth it. I am a redeemed man. I am a redeemed woman. This is my plea to you. So what I'm doing, I am presenting myself as a living sacrifice. What you sacrificing? I'm sacrificing my ego. I'm sacrificing my proudness. I'm sacrificing, my God, the hidden secrets that I've been having in my heart. I'm sacrificing. I'm putting all that. I'm putting all that on the table. I'm sacrificing it. I'm putting it all on the table. Not only that, I got my walk to prove that, God, I've been changed. I'm not into that no more. I've been changed. True repentance comes after. Not you speak. True repentance come after you done made change. And redirect it, not in a moment that you did something wrong. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I just did that wrong. Oh, please. Come on, let's stop it. We'll know 3 or 4 months down the road, or when this trial hits you again, we'll know that you ready for true repentance, or you walking in true repentance. Other than that, Lord, please, forgive me. And then you'll be saying that again 5 minutes later. Oh, Lord, I don't did it again. Forgive me. So my goodness. Content deals with you. You need to understand what Scripture says, and that way we don't try to operate into these different things and call it the Spirit of the Lord and call it this what God has me to do. I don't see so many people don't call themselves, I need to go into this, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this, and I got to go and do that. And at the end of the day, they haven't even changed their mentality. They haven't even changed their form of thinking. Only thing they're trying to change is their situation. God is not in your situation change. That's witchery. That's what witchcraft does. Witchcraft comes in, change a certain situation, deal with a certain thing, trigger coming after a certain individual, a certain person, or pertaining to a certain issue, need that to come. Witchery deal with that. God deal with the changing of lives. He's dealing with the changing of your life. He want to change your life. He wants you to lay it down. He wants you to give it to him. That's what God is. God is in the life business. He ain't in this issue business. And ain't nothing about you changed. But you want God to do this? I want God to, come on, God. And we get content. Oh, let me go and get into the prayer room. Yes. Prayer room got spiders running around it. Charlotte done made a name for it. Charlotte Well done came up in there and made a name for it. Holy moly. Read that well that Charlotte done did. If y'all don't know it, that's a book called Charlotte Well. My movie too. Amen. Timberton the Rat done brought us a mess and just told us they diabolical. Got diabolical written in Charlotte's Well. Here come a demonic influence. Y'all, I got to go. Amen. I know we went over the time, but I want to share that with you. Amen. We got to understand the practice that we're doing. We got to understand different things. That way we can put the word content back in its rightful place and it's the walk and it's the life that you live in. And we don't take this word or take these things that we do and begin to put it into some practice, amen, to where we have not even lined up with our own life, our own thinking, our own walk, amen, have not lined up within the practice that we're trying to display. That is witchcraft all day long. Peace, I'm out. Back to you, Evangelist. You can close it out loud, right? It's all good. Back to you.
Okay. You all have a beautiful day. We'll see you back on tomorrow at 7 a.m. Hear the word, people. Hear the word. God bless.